Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So during this season of Advent, notice it's still the fourth Sunday of Advent. Just want to make sure you understand that. We are called to take a step back. We're called to take a step back and to really look anew, afresh at God's word. To take a step back and to really look at what God is doing in us and through us and in our world. You know, it's so funny because we get to this time of year and Advent just seems like an afterthought because we're so busy. Christmas shopping, baking, decorating, doing all those things, wrapping. I hate Christmas wrapping, by the way. I really do. I despise it. I wish I could just pay somebody to do it for me. But anyways, that's just another story for another time. But we have all this stuff we got to do. Baking, which I don't do, but some of you do, and you do it so well, and I appreciate it. And all these things to do to get ready for Christmas. And I believe it's Satan's way of causing us to be blinded to Advent. It's funny because when Lent comes around, we don't have all that busyness to go around, do we? We have time to really sit back and focus during Lent, which is really weird because Lent is focusing on the busiest, the biggest season of the church year, and that's Easter. But Advent comes and the whole world loses their mind. My goodness, Friday I went to visit shut-ins and the traffic was so bad I thought I was just literally going to die in traffic. People everywhere, driving crazy. Went to Costco, had to pick up a prescription. It was not a good idea. Couldn't find a parking place and it was raining, cold rain. But that's this time of the year. And cold rain, by the way, and a bald head is not a good option. It just really isn't a good option. But the reality is, to me, it is so very powerful to see what God is doing during this Advent and this Christmas season. And what he's doing is making himself flesh. God making himself human, making himself flesh for you and for me. What he is doing is coming to us in our form as a human being. And there's so much power in that. And Satan doesn't want us to see that. He doesn't want us to see that. He wants us to be blinded to it because the reality is if we lose sight of the fact that God became flesh for you and for me, then nothing else that comes after it really matters because his death wouldn't mean anything nor his resurrection because God had to become human for us to be saved, and that's the reality of it. So during this Advent season, of course, the hustle and bustle and everything around us causes us to lose sight of the most wonderful miracle of what we in the church call the incarnation. In our Old Testament lesson for today, David wants to build a temple. He wants to build a permanent house for God. This is what he wants to do. It's on his heart. He really wants to do it. But the prophet says to him, no, this is not for you to do. I've dwelt around in a tent long enough, and I'm okay with doing that. And if you read on a little farther later on, we learn that it's David's son Solomon who would build the temple for God, and that would be his dwelling place. But if you read on a little farther after that, we realize that that temple doesn't even last too long. That's a very important thing for us to remember during this Advent season, that that temple never really lasted long in the first place. In our gospel lesson today, we see that Jesus himself chooses to make mankind his home. My favorite Christmas story is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Nothing came into existence without him. And then it goes on later to say that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's my favorite Christmas story. To think about the Word, the divine living Word, you've heard me say this before, that's what separates Christianity from every other world religion. No other world religion has a living and divine Word except for Christianity. Our living Word is divine. He breathes into our life every day. He makes us alive. He forgives us, and he keeps us on the right path of our salvation. That's the power of God's Word, living, divine, and active in our lives. And that Word became flesh. He came down from heaven to live for you and for me. That Word became mortal and human for you and for me. That's the beauty of our gospel lesson for today. And in our gospel lesson today, we see three very important points that come to mind for us. Number one, God's chosen temple, the holy place in which he chooses to dwell, is not a building. It's not a building. Why do you think the temple was destroyed? He was making a point. God doesn't choose to dwell within the walls of Christ Lutheran Church. This is just a building. Now, it's a special building, and it's a very beautiful building. We all agree to that, right? And it's a lot of building to maintain, and our staff would agree with that. But we love this place, and we cherish it because it's a gift from God. But God doesn't choose to dwell within these walls. You see, God chooses to dwell in you. In our baptism, God made his dwelling in our hearts and in our lives. And he did that for a very important reason. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But he doesn't choose to dwell in these walls. He's here. He's present. He's here in the Word. He's here in the sacrament. He's here because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. But his dwelling place, the place in where he lives in your heart and in your soul. Now that's very important for us to remember this Advent and Christmas season. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, how important that is. The second thing we learn is that Jesus fulfills the entire promise of the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. From Genesis to the very end of the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. In fact, in reality, Luther says you can't read any part of the Old Testament, including and especially the book of Psalms, without putting Jesus at the center of it, because it's all about Jesus. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament as the king who comes to reign over and for his people. He fulfills the Old Testament as the king who comes to reign over and for his people. The promised line of David, the king that would come to reign forever with an eternal reign of victory, an eternal reign of love, an eternal reign of forgiveness and salvation and life for you and for me. In fact, this is what it looks like. Jesus, when he came, the king arrived. He arrived in style, didn't he? He arrived in a manger in style. He arrived in a manger surrounded by cattle and animal and manure. That's the way I wanted to come into the world. No, not really. And as I said before, if I were writing the story, it'd be a lot different than that, but I'm not writing the story. But he arrived in style. He sure did get people's attention as the angels sang around and about the hills and the countryside to the shepherds so that they would know that the king was born. He arrived in style. That king grows up amongst his people. He lives a life just like you and me, like any child. We don't know much about his childhood, except we know that one time he got separated from his parents because he decided to stay and preach. That's at the temple. Well, that's okay. That's good. Good for him. He got separated. That's all we really know about Jesus and his childhood, but he grew up like you and me. He wore diapers. He pooped his diapers. He ate just like you and me. He was human. There was nothing different about Jesus. He was a baby human being. He died, even more than that. He lived in the bondage to our sin and wrath, and he did not sin. Here's the reality. As Jesus got older and his ministry began at 30 years of age in this world, something powerful happened. He lived in bondage to our sin. He lived in bondage to our temptation. He lived in bondage to the miserable existence that we would live as people tormented him and wanted to kill him. He even lived in bondage to Satan in 40 days in temptation. But here's the difference. He did not sin. He did it all without sinning for you and for me so that when God would look at us, he would see us as perfect. And then, oh, by the way, he had no sin, but what did he do? Our king went to the cross and he died for us. He died for us and for our salvation. He bore our punishment. He took on our shame and our guilt and the very hell that you and I deserved, he took on himself so that we would be set free in his forgiveness and life. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later. Our king triumphantly rose from the dead to usher in his kingdom for eternity. His kingdom of eternal life. Just a side note, for those people who believe in the book of Revelation differently than we do, you'll hear a lot of times about people talking about this millennial reign, and Jesus is going to come and he's going to reign for 1,000 years and set up a kingdom here on earth. They are totally mistaken, and that is totally false. That is not scriptural. When St. John wrote the book of Revelation, he was writing in Hebrew in an apocalyptic style, which meant hidden style, and unless you understood the Hebrew and the Aramaic he was using, you kind of didn't get the point. The millennial reign of Jesus, the number 1,000 in Scripture, is a Hebrew word that means perfection. And the reign of Jesus' perfection began the day he died on the cross and rose from the dead. His reign of perfection is here. We are part of that reign of perfection here on earth, but not yet until heaven. Remember we talked about that now, not yet theology before as Lutherans? That we are part of perfection now, but not yet. Because still as we go through this world, Satan wants to attack us. He wants to bombard us. He wants to distract us from the real meaning of Christmas. He wants to distract our lives and lead us into sin and temptation and hurt and failure and all the other things that go along with what Satan brings. But yet, we are living in the reign of perfection because when we die, we know that Jesus has already prepared a place for us in his eternal mansion in heaven. And even though we live in this world where there's still trial and trouble and tribulation, we know that Jesus is by our side, and we know that our King promises never to leave us nor forsake us. We know that our King says in Romans chapter 8 that nothing in all creation will ever separate us from his love, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers. Neither life or death itself will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's his promise of assurance to us, that we can live in this world today triumphantly rejoicing in the eternal life he's already won for us in his reign of perfection. Although the world may try to take us away from that, it cannot separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior. And that's the gospel promise that our King ushers in. And now Jesus wants to live in and through you. This is the reality of Christmas. This is the reality of John chapter 1. Jesus made his dwelling among us to live in our hearts and our lives. He wants to live in you and through you. He wants your life to be a life of surrender, to fall before him and to say, Jesus, I give you everything. He wants to live through you, and I am convinced more and more as we go through this world, it's that love of Jesus that entered in that tiny manger that transforms and changes our world. It truly does. If you think about the Grinch who stole Christmas, what happened when the people loved the Grinch? He got happy, didn't he? And you know the mistake that people make? The Grinch didn't hate Christmas. He hated people. But the love of the people transformed him. What a message in that story. And that's how our world operates today. As you carry forth the love of Jesus to a world around you, to a world of hurt people, of broken people, to family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and fellow students, not even using the words of the gospel, but allowing your life to be a life of open and unending love to people around you who are sinful just like you. Allowing your life to be the power of the love of Jesus, the world is transformed. It happens every day. It's happening in Germany. I told you about the church in Germany that opened its doors to the Muslim refugees, and the conversion rate to Christianity is 80% right now in that Lutheran church. It happens every day in a church in Soulard, district of St. Louis, Missouri, a church that's opened its doors to the homosexual population, and homosexuals are coming in and living a life of celibacy, turning their lives over to Jesus and saying, you know what? I want to follow God's design for my life. It happens as you and I enter this place every day, every Sunday, or every Wednesday, or whenever we come in and are encountered by the love of Jesus through the power of his word and sacrament, because we are sinners. We deserve nothing but death and hell. But it happens as the love of Jesus encounters us to declare us free and forgiven, to put the message of joy and peace and hope back into our hearts to carry to the world around us. Our world only changes when we carry the love of Jesus with us in all that we do. Washington, D.C. will not change the world. Washington won't do it. Complaining and griping on Facebook won't change the world. I promise you, it only makes it worse. Sitting back and doing nothing won't change the world. You have the power to change the world as Jesus lives in you. One heart, one soul, one life at a time. As Jesus shines his light and his love through you, the world will change. It's been changing for 2,000 years, and it will change with or without us, because Jesus and his love will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.